This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. It's a pleasure to be with you every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and current, topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And recently, I saw a story that caught my attention. It said that the chief of Niagara Falls USA Tourism is gearing up for a gush of travel demand. And that was so encouraging and optimistic, just seeing that headline, because that's, I don't know about the rest of you, but I miss traveling so much. And I think it's probably when you talk to people about what you miss, you know, they'll say we miss going to a restaurant, we miss this, we miss that. But I bet you traveling is way, way up there on the list of what people miss. So in the studio talking to us today through the magic of telephone and the magic of Jim S. here, who's engineering it all, is John Percy, and he is the president and CEO of Destination Niagara USA. And as I said, he aims for his organization to see a return of 60%, he says, to 2019 tourism members in 2021. But this was a couple of weeks ago, so when I read that at the beginning of the year. So now we're going to put him to the test, as they say. we're going to put him under oath and swear him in and find out if it's still true. Hi, how are you, Mr. Percy?
Good to talk to you. Please call me John. And
John,
it's a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
So glad to talk to you. It's been a while, actually.
Yes, it has.
In better times, I'm sure we discussed the tourism issue, but it's just been so. It's the most. As I said, one of the things that people, I think, miss the most. Am I right about that? When they do surveys, isn't that true?
Very much. I mean, travel is on everyone's mind, is in everyone's realm, if you will. You know, travel brings families together, brings friends together, it creates memories. I mean, it has everything all encompassed in travel. You know, you get to experience wherever you're traveling, whether it's to Niagara Falls or to Paris or wherever. You know, people, you know, really save up and plan so much. There's so much that goes into travel, but it really is the experience and memories that you pull from that, whether you are with friends or family or even by yourself or traveling with a loved one. You know, the memories that are captured is really what enhances your life, you know, life's experiences and your life's memories. And so travel is truly you know, an activity that will never go away, that's for sure. I mean, it will be a part of us for eternity, you know. So as long as this world exists, that travel will and has for many, many decades.
Oh, I wish I hadn't asked you that question because it just makes me so longing. And also, I wish you hadn't mentioned Paris. That's a I can't believe you did that right at the top
I
of the
know,
program.
I'm
make
sorry.
Me feel
I...
even worse. So let's, first of all, let me talk about something which I think is important to our listeners. When I say that you are the president and CEO of Destination Niagara USA, we are talking to you, but actually On Target, as I said, is for everybody in Western New York. And the importance,
right.
I want to explain the importance of, you know, Destination Niagara USA to everybody in Western New York, no matter where they live, whether they live in Cheektowaga or Orchard Park or Niagara Falls, because I think, as you can explain, the destination of Niagara is important to all of Western New York.
Well, I think we all take pride in that Niagara Falls is in our backyard, you know, and that we have a world icon and such a world treasure that's in our backyard. And I think everybody should take pride in it. You know, our organization is given the duty and the honor to market Niagara Falls USA. Our brand, that's our company name, is Destination Niagara USA, but the brand to the world is simply Niagara Falls USA. And people around the world know it, and with it being iconic, you know, we're recognizable and truly a bucket list destination for anyone and everyone to visit. And we're just very lucky to have it. And I have the honor to represent this brand and be the ambassador, if you will, of this brand here in Niagara Falls, but also on a worldwide stage. You know, when we try to take this brand worldwide and market and sell it worldwide, that is my job and the team that I have the pleasure of working with on a daily basis to market it and sell it to the world.
Well, I think it's obvious that it's a tourist attraction. It's probably Niagara Falls itself is probably one of the 10, I don't know what they call it, you know, highlights of the world. Right. And people come from all over to see Niagara Falls. And obviously it's USA. It spills over to the rest of the area. That's the thinking anyway. So let's talk about the pent up demand. You said that there is a pent up. How do you know that?
Well, we are watching on a weekly basis. We have wonderful companies in our industry, Longwoods International and Destination Analyst and a few others that are doing traveler sentiment surveys. So they're in touch with, you know, large batch of consumers in our country, and they speak to them on a weekly basis to see where their mindset is and where their psyche is on the realm of travel. You know, where do they... are they ready to travel now? When will they travel the next 6 months? And it changes week by week. You know, if you get a good news story about vaccinations and future prospects of this going away, that traveler sentiment, you know, it's almost like a barometer, just, you know, goes up and then it goes down the next week when there's maybe a story that the numbers are starting to creep up again. So we've seen such an ebb and flow, if you will, over the last 12 months, now almost 12 months, unfortunately, but to see that ebb and flow where people are, you know, where their comfort level is. But in those surveys, is that pent up? Because a lot of people haven't traveled. Some people got, you know, stimulus checks, or they're just staying home and eating at home. They haven't been able to go out for dinner. So they're even saving up money. You know, there is that group of people that have saved money during this time. And so it's a good prospect for us in the travel industry that there will be this pent-up demand, because this did not just happen in Niagara Falls. This happened to the entire world. So not only are consumers in Pittsburgh or New York City or wherever, you know, have that pent-up demand, but there's consumers all over the world that have this pent-up demand and that desire to travel. So when the floodgates open up, I really do believe they are going to be the floodgates, because in this, you know, passes, and then the psychological aspects of this pass, and people get into a real comfort level, the flood of travel is going to be enormous. And it's, you know, we're all going to be great recipients. We're the hardest hit industry. Travel and tourism is the hardest hit because it's a luxury item. It's a ancillary item. It's a discretionary item, more importantly. And so people don't have to spend money on it. So we are first to be scratched off the list on expenditures. Plus, they couldn't travel because of travel restrictions and so forth. So there were a number of factors against the travel industry. But when this does open up, the first industry to rebound the strongest will be travel and tourism. So the prospects are very promising. You know, I've said there are brighter days ahead. And they truly are for all of us.
You know, I wondered when we're talking about this, though, if it's going to be like tiny steps. Well, let's say for myself, for an example, like I want to see my sister in New York, but I also want to go to Paris. So the question is, are people going to go where they can go just within a few miles? Are they ready? When are they going to be ready to, as far as like Niagara Falls goes, do you expect people will come within driving distance? And will there be, you know, little step-by-step increments until you get to the point where people would be coming from, which they do, from China and from, you know, Europe?
I think, and that's a great question, because we try to evaluate that, look at that. You know, last year we did okay. In August, when the attractions were allowed to open up in July, we really put forth a good amount of advertising to say we were open, we were safe, and we had a lot of wide open spaces. Our campaign was wide open spaces, now open for adventure. Just to get in people's mindset that we are very open here. We have a great open state park. We have a lot of rural parts of Niagara County. So people could feel very comfortable. We also instilled a program called Unified in Safety to get all of our attractions and hoteliers and restaurateurs to really jump on the bandwagon to make sure that they were instilling safety throughout all of their operations. So again, that consumer, we were realizing, were first and foremost concerned about safety. So back to your question, you know, our point is, yes, last year, all the people that came mainly were from New York State and a lot from New York City that were driving up. And because in August, we saw occupancy rates. I even looked at the occupancy rate yesterday for August last year. We were above 60% for the month of August. And that's not a great August for us, but it's better than we ever anticipated. And even Labor Day, we were above 95% for that entire weekend of Labor Day in the hotel occupancy. So people were traveling. They were just staying closer to home. And they know they could get here, feel safe, get in the hotel room, and spend most of their time outdoors at the Maid of the Mist or in the state park or doing a lot of outdoor activities, not a lot of indoor activities. So, you know, that helped us. Just this past weekend, I just got the number the other day, we were 73% occupancy over Valentine's / President's Day weekend last Saturday. Those are bright little spots for me and all of us here in Niagara Falls, that there is that pent-up demand and people will travel. Again, I haven't still gotten to your point, but people are staying closer to home, and we're seeing people within a 2 to 4 hour, maybe 6 hours with New York City drive distance. And as this gets better and the numbers improve with COVID and vaccinations become more, you know, prevalent, if not full distribution, you will start to see that number grow and go from 6 hours to 8 hours, 8 hours to 10 hours, and to your point, to internationally. So it's going to take some time. We anticipate a 60% return of 2019 numbers this year. Last year, we did 40%. I just got the final numbers the other day from the hotels, that we were down 58% overall in hotels here. I anticipated being down 60. This year, we'll probably be down 40%. And I'm following, and that really last year matched what the projectionist or the futurist or the people that do research in our industry, what they projected. And then I think next year we'll see 80 to 90% of 2019 numbers in 2022. Now, if things improve, we could be back to 2019 numbers in 2022. What's helping us is that international travel, how you love international, I love international travel. 79 million people, or the number may even be larger, do outbound trips from the U.S. abroad. And only 71 million people within the states stay within the states. So those 79 million people can't travel abroad, but they can stay domestically. So we hope to capture some of that audience as well.
Well, it seems reasonable. When you discuss it, it seems, oh, that's reasonable. You know, that's a goal that's attainable. But when you think of it just in the broad picture, everyone says, oh, tourism is, you know, the hardest hit industry. And now it's optimistic. I just want to interrupt for a moment to tell my listeners that you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today we are talking to John Percy, and he is the CEO of Destination Niagara USA. And we're talking about that very subject, tourism and Destination Niagara Falls and USA and everything to do with travel. And I was thinking we really have to discuss a little bit, and you kind of alluded to it, but what's been done? Do you think travel that is going to be different, and the tourism industry is going to be different, and the changes that have been made for COVID, like after 9/11, there were certain changes, and now I right. guess there's been changes due to COVID. Will they be different? Will they remain, or will a lot of things change?
I think it's a good question. It's a great question because we saw a lot of changes incorporated after 9/11. You know, our security at the airports became a lot stronger and a lot more prevalent. And, you know, you couldn't just run to the gate and even greet your loved ones. You know, things changed quite drastically with the security measures after 9/11 because that was, you know, what impacted us all was the security of terrorists and being secure from them. I think this situation, things that have been instilled into hotels and a lot of our activities and everything will remain. But we are also human, and we're also habitual. I think some things will maybe be loosened up a little bit, maybe the mask wearing, and maybe not so much hand sanitizing. But that has also helped us. I think we've seen not a rise in just colds and flu, even during this winter. So maybe, like, people wear masks in China all the time. And that may be the case here, too. So some things are going to remain in place. I think cleanliness and people's perception of cleanliness and hotels and restaurants and attractions are going to have to really pay attention to that, because people are going to be very well aware of their surroundings and the cleanliness of those surroundings. And hotels that and motels and lodging facilities that didn't have keyless entry systems are really going to have to elevate that. They're really becoming more prominent in our industry, but I think those are really being elevated a lot quicker. You can get into your hotel with your device, your handheld device, your mobile device. And I did that 2 years ago in Washington, D.C. for the first time. I was in a rush. I didn't have time to go to the front desk. I was able to check in, go to my hotel, and use my phone to get the door opened. So I think you're going to see a lot more of those contactless, you know, not being in front of the people at the front desk so much, and really just being on your own with your own device. So there is less contact with people going for the future. And it just makes our industry that much more futuristic, I guess.
But somehow people are going to get tourists or customers, clients are going to have to get used to it, because actually I did travel once during COVID not too long ago, and everything at the hotel, not just the keyless entry, but they had, you know, the breakfast room was closed. You couldn't go and have the breakfast together like you ordinarily would. I don't want to go into this, but when I'm talking to you personally, I'll tell you there was no room service. This was Florida, right. Actually. You had to go and get your own towels. The you know, housekeeping couldn't come into your room unless you asked them, and even if you asked them, they didn't. So there's a lot of, like you said, there's going to be a lot of changes, and people are going to have to get used to it, because it's going to be that way or no way. And as you said, there's pent-up desire. And I mean, I would do it again, even though there was a lot of inconvenience involved.
Right. And I think some of those inconveniences will lighten up over, you know, the evolution of this. I think you'll start to see some of that, because people still want service. You know, they do want to travel and pay for that service. So I think some of those will lighten up, but still to be determined. We don't know where this is really headed. It's so unprecedented that none of us were, you know, expecting this or even prepared for this, to be perfectly honest, in many industries. And so it took us by storm.
Yes, no. I guess the elephant in the room that we haven't gotten into yet is the problem with Canada. The bridges being closed, no entry from, so we can't go to Canada and they can't come here.
Right.
So the Canadian border issue has affected tourism, I'm sure, but I don't know if there's any positive to it, and if you see any end to it.
Well, there is a little positive. You know, I can't lie. And as I said in the Buffalo News article, you know, it has helped us to a certain extent, because some of Americans enjoy traveling internationally, if you will. We always treat, you know, the Canadian border as our neighbors to the north and our friends to the north, not so much an international border. But other states, you know, really see Canada as an international border. And traveling internationally. And so there is that appeal of traveling internationally. With the border being closed, it has helped our hotel numbers a little bit, and being able to capture some of that customer that maybe would have gone to Canada. So that's been a little silver dot, or, you know, lining, if you will, for us. But it also has been a negative, too, with the border closed, because those customers, our friends to the north, really impact our shopping partners here in Niagara County, because shopping is always number one on the list for Canadians. Dining is number two here in Niagara County, and then staying in a hotel is number three in that order. So it's, you know, shop, dine, stay for our friends to the north. It may be different in Erie County, because they're a little more evening activities and sporting activities and so forth that Canadians do, enjoy. So the desire to go to Buffalo is a little maybe different than it is in Niagara County. But that has impacted our numbers greatly in this county, unfortunately, and we look forward to them returning because our shopping partners, you know, have been hurt significantly by that reduction in sales.
I think it's hurt the airport, too. I mean, the numbers for the airport, because as we who travel know, when you take a plane from Buffalo going anywhere, half the passengers with you are, I don't know, I'm making it up, half, but a lot of the passengers are Canadian.
Right.
Yeah, so, and
yeah, it's a lot. And that's Buffalo. And then our airport here that is serviced by Spirit and Allegiant at the Niagara Falls International Airport, it's upwards of 80% of their customer base for those two airlines are Canadian. And so they have been impacted greatly by those borders being closed.
And another thing is we've kind of lumping all this travel together in one, you know, tourism thing. But there's a difference between business travel and leisure travel and convention travel. All of these are different, right, different groups.
Very much.
And we talked about the international, but we haven't really mentioned, and we talked about the leisure travel, but we really haven't mentioned the importance of the return of business and conventions and that kind of thing.
Well, and it's true. I mean, we have done well. When I've mentioned those numbers, you know, earlier in our conversation, that the numbers that we've been impacted by, you know, a little on the positive side, have been from that leisure traveler, because people, you know, can get away with a couple or their family and stay intact in a hotel room. The impact of convention and meetings has all dried up at this stage, and we look forward to that returning. Even business travel, we don't necessarily get impacted greatly by that transient business traveler that may be in Buffalo more, because there's more corporate and a reason to travel into the Erie County area for business, more so than Niagara Falls. But the convention and meeting business does impact us here, and with that business, you know, right now, because you can't hold a group size more than 50 people at one time, and so that business has been, you know, zero, and we do look forward to those days when people can, and I know people look forward to it. They've been on Zoom calls, and their meetings are all virtual, and people do look forward to that day, I believe, and the numbers show that they look forward to getting back in person and meeting in person, because there's so much depth and richness to meeting a person in person. You get to know them, you know, more significantly and become closer in your relationship, even a business relationship at a convention or meeting, than you do on a Zoom call.
That's for sure. Well, there's the, you know, the collegiality and the culture, you know, the culture of the business that they're trying to get together. Now, that affects if they come to a convention, for example, at our convention center in Buffalo, one of the places they're going to go no matter what, if they're from other areas, is Niagara Falls.
Very much.
So I'm sure that affects. They may not stay there, but they're certainly going to go there for the day. They may plan a dinner party there, you know, for the group.
There's even a new market called Leisure, which is a combination, and people are doing where it's a combination of business and leisure. I know I even do that when I go to conventions, either in this country or out of the country, that I stay at least one day extra to visit that destination or that community, because I may never get back there. So it's a great opportunity for me to take in that city or community or wherever I'm at. And so I think many are realizing that your plane fare is paid for by your business or your transportation, your hotel, et cetera. So you get to take in that community and combine both business and leisure, or bring your family with you, especially with Niagara Falls, to your point, with Niagara Falls here. It's a great combination to do both business and leisure in the same trip.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you said, I've done that too. I'm sure everybody that's traveled for business has done that. And as far as the sports, you mentioned that too, the lack of audiences, not audience, spectators, what do you call them, Jim? People that go to the sports events that we're not having, like, you know, come for hockey and come for leagues, the leagues when they come from all over for the tournaments, that kind of thing. So we don't have any of that, and that's going to make a difference, too, when that comes back.
A huge impact. It is. It's, you know, those people, we don't realize, I think the one positive, you know, silver lining, I always keep trying to find the silver linings in this because we sure have to on our daily basis with this, but is that I think people didn't realize how impactful tourism is to your individual communities. And I'm on a couple national boards, and we're discussing that I think communities are finally realizing how much of their sales tax, how much of their taxes locally are impacted by incoming, like you're saying, just incoming business, incoming conventions, incoming tournaments, incoming spectators, whatever, incoming tourist period. How much they do drive the economics in an individual community, and how great that is to the economies within the communities we reside. And so people are realizing that now because we're truly seeing it go to zero. And so people can really tell. You don't tell if it's down 5% or 4% or something in a normal year, but you can tell when you go to zero in a community how tourism has played a role in your individual community.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm so glad to talk to you only because it's like a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, your optimism.
Yeah, it's a long tunnel.
I know. hey, John, is there any website that people can go to? Yeah, website that we can
do.
Give people?
Yeah, just simply, www, but NiagaraFallsUSA.com. It's just all one word, NiagaraFallsUSA.com. And that really encompasses all the products and wonderful assets that we have the pleasure of marketing here in Niagara County. And then, of course, there's regional assets on there as well from Buffalo and beyond. There is a lot of things in Niagara County that are listed on our website and the great experiences that you can have here. As Jim was saying, he bicycles up here, and I think, I think people, locals, have been able to really enjoy Niagara Falls in their backyard, and with the wonderful things that the governor's done in our state park, a lot of rehabilitation and renovations and touch-ups and TLC given to the state park. I invite people to really come, especially right now in the winter. It's just stunning right now to see the winter splendor that surrounds our majestic Niagara Falls right now.
Come on down. Come on over.
Right.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much, John, for talking to us about
you.
This really important subject. And we appreciate your talking to us. And we're really grateful to all of you for listening to On Target this week. So please join us again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week. And goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.